that song, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Come on, so many of us live our lives afraid, right? Afraid of what everybody else thinks. So that causes us to try to be who everybody else wants us to be, try to meet up to everybody else's expectations, right? And when we do that, we can't really be the child of God that we're meant to be. We can't really be who God created us to be because we're too busy trying to be who everybody else wants us to be. And I just love those lyrics. I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God.
Hallelujah.
Right? I am a child of God. And it just made me think of the scripture in Matthew 10:28. Says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear God. Right? Come on. Live to please Him. This might set up for where I'm going. But so many live their lives afraid of death, right? And I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, the fleshly side of who I am isn't afraid of death, all right? But how many of y'all know that you never really truly live until you figure out the only cause and the only one worth dying for, all right? Come on. You'll never truly live. If you're living your whole life just trying to get all you can get in this life and thinking that's all you got and making every decision based on the fact that you're scared to die and scared to really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're never going to be who God created you to be. You're always going to bow down to who people want you to be or who the world wants you to be or who government says you should be or all that stuff. Come on. Let's be who God created us to be. Let's know that this life is not the only life, right?
Amen.
Come on, there's something greater coming. We're living for something greater. We're living for a cause greater. But I don't know, the word that God put on my heart for this morning, just kind of an extension of all the things that I've been looking into over the Christmas season and the new year. You know, I was reading all through the Christmas scriptures again about, you know, the prophecies of the birth of Jesus. And then, you know, Luke chapter 2 and when Jesus is born. And I felt like God was just revealing things to me and showing things to me. But I had this sense that I wasn't catching all that He wanted me to catch. All right. I wasn't seeing all that He wanted me to see, so I just kept reading, and I kept reading. I was like, God, why don't you just tell me what it is, you know? I've read this a million times. I don't want to read it again, but I kept just digging in. I felt like some things were not jumping out to me that needed to, and I switched translations. Anybody go back and forth between translations? Like, read the New Living Translation a lot, but I jumped over to the New King James Version, and I started noticing some things that I didn't notice before. And there's prophetic parallels, man. Even in the life of Jesus, all right? I know we preach prophetic pictures all the time from the Old Testament, kind of like, you know, Abraham taking Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him is a prophetic picture of God sending Jesus to Golgotha, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's prophetic pictures, prophetic parallels, and we pull a lot of those things from the Old Testament, but I really feel like there's prophetic parallels in the New Testament concerning the life of Jesus and, you know, who He was and how we are the body of Christ now today, right? And some of the things that I had talked about before, it says that when Jesus was born, they laid Him in a manger. And it says, because there was no room in the inn. In other words, from the very get-go, I really feel like the enemy was trying to make sure that there was no room for the Son of God. From the very get-go, he was trying to shut out the Christ. And I really think that that is a prophetic picture of what's going on today. The enemy's working in such a way that he's trying to shut out the Christ, that he's trying to make sure that there's no room for the Christ in us to be in the world, right? And in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 6, and I'm going to read to verse 11. But the backstory is this. The government, I guess whoever was the leader of the government at the time, they called for a census. And in that day and that time, I guess when they took a census, you had to go back to the place. Joseph had to go back to the place that he was born. He couldn't just go to where he actually lived at. Because the prophecy said that Jesus would be a Nazarite, right? But he would be born in Bethlehem, right? And it sounds like these prophecies are contradicting themselves, but they're not, all right? And the government called for a census, and it caused Joseph to have to take his family to Bethlehem, where he was from, to be registered for the census, even though they lived in Nazareth, okay? So because of what the government was doing at the time, Joseph, Mary, and that whole family, they were in a place that they wouldn't normally be in, doing things in a way that they wouldn't have normally been doing things. Does that sound familiar to anybody, all right? Because of what the government's doing, we're having to live in such a way that we don't normally live. We're having to do things in such a way that we don't normally do. But let me tell you something. It plays right into the hand of God for prophecy to be fulfilled. It might not be the prophecy that we wanted, that Trump's going to be president, huh? But it's going to be the prophecies of the Bible. God's word will be true.
Yeah.
Period. Period. And just when the enemy thinks he's doing something, he's playing right in to prophecy being fulfilled.
Yes.
And here, like the guy who was the leader of the government, he might not have realized that the agenda of the enemy that was inspiring him was trying to shut out the Christ, you know, to try to keep tabs on people and keep account on people to figure out where the Son of God was. You know what I mean? Like, he might not have even realized that that's what he was being inspired by, but he called a census for a reason. And I feel like that was the demonic agenda, okay? But it was really just playing right into the hand of God for prophecy to be fulfilled, okay? Yeah. The enemy thinks he thought he was doing something when he put Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. Come on, but let me just pick up right here in this story. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, it says, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed." Everybody say completed.
Completed.
Philippians 1:6, it says, "I am convinced that he who began a good work will see it unto completion." How many of y'all know God's going to complete some things, all right?
Yeah.
Despite what the government's doing, despite what the enemy's doing, it's not going to stop God from what he has planned. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on. "The days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord.'"
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, can somebody give God some praise in this place this morning? A Savior. Amen. The days were completed. Okay, so because of what the government's doing, it's causing them to be in a place that they wouldn't normally be, doing things that they wouldn't normally do, but it's playing right into the hand of God for prophecy to be fulfilled. And despite what the enemy's trying to do to shut out the Christ and shut down the plan and the purpose of God, it says that the days were completed, that the Son was born anyway. The Christ came forth anyway. It doesn't matter what the government's doing. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. God will bring forth the Christ in due season. Let me tell you something. There's a Christ that he's been working on the inside of you. There's a Son of God that he's been working on the inside of you. There's a daughter of God that he's been working on the inside of you. And it doesn't matter what the government's doing. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. Christ will be birthed forth from your life in the signs of the times and the birth pains of the times.
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
Yeah.
It's a prophetic picture. Everything that Jesus lived out is something that the body of Christ will live out as well. There's a Christ being formed on the inside of you, man. And here's the thing. There's a difference in believing that Jesus was a real person and believing that he's the Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. Christ means anointed one. Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's, I'm not sure, it's in Isaiah somewhere. Talks about how the anointing is meant to destroy the yokes and to lift the burdens. All right. Yeah. It's the chain-breaking, soul-saving power of God. Miracles, signs, and wonders. There's a lot of people who believe in Jesus. There's a lot of churches who talk about Jesus, but they don't believe in the power of God. They don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. They don't believe in the chain-breaking, soul-saving power of God. They make Jesus into this good person that's just got some good advice, and we need to follow his teachings because we'll be better people. How many of y'all know that being a Christian is not about trying to be a good person? Come on, Jesus didn't come to this life to be a good person. He came on a mission to seek and save that which was lost. And he's not just talking about human beings. He's talking about this whole realm that has been messed up by the enemy. He's trying to save the whole thing.
Come on.
And you're a part of it. Hallelujah. And he's working through you to help redeem it. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. We got to rise to the occasion, man. Come on. And it's going to be completed one way or the other. Doesn't matter what the government's doing. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. It's playing right into the hand of God for prophecies to be fulfilled. Come on. It's not the feel-good, ear-tickling prophecies that we, you know, come on. But it's the word that's going to stand when everything else fails. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And I just want to say this. The reason I kept on reading about the shepherds out in the field, you know, why were the shepherds out in the field? Why weren't they going to take the census? Obviously, they're not going to bow down to the government's agenda. All right? They're not going to abandon their post. And you know, the angel of the Lord could have showed up to the government officials. He could have showed up to the religious folk, but he didn't want to have anything to do with them jokers. He showed up to some shepherds out in the field because he knew that they were the people that weren't going to abandon their post. I'm telling you, God's raising up some shepherds in this day and this time who will not abandon their post, yes, who will not shut down church. And I'm telling you, the angel of the Lord, all of heaven is going to be visiting them.
Yes.
Amen?
Oh, man.
Come on. That's where you're going to find the Christ.
Yep.
Amen. That's where you're going to find the real deal. And I said it yesterday, talking about one of the seven mountains of culture and how media, it's one of the ways that the enemy works to, you know, fulfill his evil agenda, right? It is. But why do you think that the enemy's agenda through government, whether they realize it or not, this is the enemy's agenda, all right? He wants to shut down churches to where we're not having in-person services, to where we're all streaming online, and then the ones that he wants to cancel, the real deal, he'll make sure that they get banned from online, and then the only ones preaching the false gospel are the ones that you'll be able to tune into. All right? Come on, man. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints, especially when the time draws near. Okay? Especially when the time draws near. Why do you think he adds that on there? Especially when the time draws near. Obviously, God knew some things was going to be going on that tried to get you to forsake.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on. And the only way you're going to get the real deal is if you're actually still coming together. Not bowing down to the agenda of the government. Not abandoning your post. Come on, there's going to be some people with some grit. Some Holy Ghost grit. It's not about being jerks for Jesus. It's not about being belligerent or warring the way the world wars. We're just not going to compromise. We're just not going to bow down. Sorry, we love you.
Yeah.
Huh? We want you to be who God created you to be, but we're not going to bow down to your agenda. Now, let me read this. All right, Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. It says this. It's talking about the signs of the times. Y'all know Matthew 24, right? This is the prophecies that's going to be fulfilled. And I don't know if it's coming like real soon, but in the end, this is how it happens. All right? In the end. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. All right? It has to happen. But the end won't follow immediately. In other words, it's not coming right then. Okay? Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all that is only first of the birth pains. All right? What's being birthed? The Christ in you. The Christ in me. All right? The days are going to be completed for the Christ to come forth from the church, regardless of what the enemy's doing. Matter of fact, that stuff must happen in order for it to take place. All right? And this spirit of abortion wants you to abort the Christ that God's been forming on the inside of you. Wants you to abort the Son of God that God's been forming on the inside of you. Wants you to abort the daughter of God that God's been forming on the inside of you. Wants you to back down and compromise and not really allow the thing that God's been working on the inside of you to come forth in power. All right? Come on. It's not just about killing innocent babies. It's about killing the Christ in you. All right? All right. Romans 8, 19 through 22, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans with labors and birth pains together until now. So the revealing of the sons of God, the manifestation of the fully mature Christ that God's been forming on the inside of you, on the inside of me, has everything to do with the birth pains and the signs of the times. All right? There's another scripture that backs it up. Huh? All of creation is groaning. Creation is about to birth something. The days are about to be completed for the Christ to come forth, for the church to rise to the occasion and really operate in the chain-breaking, soul-saving power of God, the burden-lifting, the yoke-destroying power of God. Miracles, signs, and wonders, dead getting up, blind eyes coming open, dead ears coming open, the lame walking. Come on, I'm telling you. The enemy doesn't care if you talk about Jesus. He doesn't want you to operate in the power of the Christ.
Power.
And listen, anybody that's preaching the power of the Christ and there's actually things that are going on, the media is going to shut down.
Amen.
But the ones that they're going to let talk about Jesus are the ones that he's just a good guy and there's good advice. Trying to get people to be good people. You know? I'm not saying you should be a bad person. Like, I don't live my life to be good. I live my life to follow Jesus, and because of that, I'm gooder. Does that make sense?
I'm good.
That's just a byproduct. That's not the goal, all right? That's not the goal. All right, so I want to read this in Luke's version because Luke says it a little different. He doesn't say birth pains, but he does say some things in here that I think we need to understand. Luke 21, 8 through 18, it says, "He replied, 'Don't let anyone mislead you.'" Deception. See, that's going to be the deception. How can you deceive people into thinking that they're doing the right thing when they're doing the wrong unless you're actually talking about Jesus? You know what I mean? So there's going to be people that are preaching about Jesus or talking about Jesus, but it's not going to be the Christ. It's not going to be the real Jesus. Okay? It's going to be this watered-down gospel, this watered-down version of Jesus that really isn't the real thing. Because that's what deception is. Like, it's not people that are just blatantly going the wrong way. It's people that think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and saying, the time has come, but don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Then he added, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and there will be famines and plagues. He says plagues in this one, not just famines. Mm. All right. And there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs.
Come on.
So both of these things are taking place at the same time. There's terrible things taking place, but it's causing the great miraculous signs to shine out all the more. All right.
Come on.
They're both taking place at the same time.
Come on.
There will be terrible things and great miraculous signs from heaven. But before this occurs, notice he's saying, when that stuff happens, the end's not going to come immediately. But before all this, there will be a time of great persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think persecution's coming, guys. Yeah. I really do.
It is.
Don't want to be doom and gloom, but it's really our time to shine all the more.
Come on.
It's really our time for the Christ to be birthed through us all the more.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on. There will be great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors. Like, how in the world can that happen unless the enemy owns the government to come against the church?
Come on.
That's the prophecy that's going to be fulfilled. I don't know if it's going to happen in this administration in the next 4 years, but when it goes down, that's how it's going down. All right? You will be dragged into the synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors. Because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me.
Yes.
So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your brothers, your relatives, and friends will betray you. Come on, other scriptures say that. That your enemies will be in your own household. Now, I'm not talking about living right in the house with you, but it'll be a part of your, you know, close family. Man, I'm telling you, man, me and my mom, and I don't even, you know, I love my mom, but through all this political stuff, there's been more fight and more debate than ever. You know what I mean? Huh? My brother, my sister, all this stuff, and I'm not saying that they're my enemies, but we just don't see things the same way, all right? Come on, we don't live life through looking through the same lens.
Right.
And I love them, man, and I want the best for them. And I know they think the same in their mind, but it's kind of like the enemy has created this situation, to divide. Amen?
Yep.
To divide and cause hate, right? They will even kill some of you, and everyone will hate you because you are my followers. I said it yesterday, man. How does the enemy get the whole world to hate the people that are really believing in the real thing? Well, he makes us out to be the problem. How many of y'all know tolerance is not love?
Amen.
It's not.
Amen.
It's not. Period. The love of the world is different than the love of God. And the love of God is really the only true love. The love of the world ain't even really love. Okay? But this whole tolerance thing, all you got to let, you know, if you don't believe that people can pick their own gender, then you don't love them. You don't. They make us out to be the problem. Okay? That's the thing. They make people who won't compromise on the truth, they make you out to be the problem, and they get everybody in the world to view you as the problem. Amen? And they use media to do it. They use government to do it. They use education to do it. They use all the seven mountains of culture to do it. All right? They make us out to be the bad guy when we're just wanting to love them and get them to realize who they are in Christ and getting them to realize the truth, and we won't compromise on it. All right? Come on. They make us out to be the bad guy. They get the whole world to hate the ones who follow. And it's, notice it says the ones who follow Jesus, not the ones who just talk about a false Jesus. The ones that are really following him. The ones that are really laying down their lives and becoming disciples and won't bow down and won't compromise. But not a hair on your head will perish by standing firm. Listen, guys, we got to stand firm. We got to hold the line. Don't compromise. Don't back up. Don't bow down to the agenda that the enemy is trying to work through the government. Amen? Amen. Come on. Stand firm. Not a hair on your head will perish. Amen? Come on. By standing firm, you will win souls.
Hallelujah.
It actually says you will win your souls. All right? But think about this, guys. I was talking to Rob about this. Listen, man, like, I understand the mentality. It's kind of like there's a mentality in the body of Christ that we believe that we're going to take over the natural government. Right?
Nope.
That's not the way it goes down. The natural government raises up and kills the church. Just like, who killed Jesus? The religious folk provoked the government to put him on the cross. It's one and the same today. The religious folk, the ones who ain't really got it but claim they got it, are going to provoke the government, work through the government to put the Christ on the cross.
Amen.
It's going to go down that way. Think about Peter, all right? Peter gets the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, okay? But he has his own idea of who the Messiah is supposed to be, all right? And then Jesus says, well, I got to go to the cross, man. I got to pay this price. He's like, no, he starts to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking. You have this idea of who you think the Messiah is supposed to be. You think the Messiah is going to take over the natural government. Right? That's what they thought. That's not how it's going down. And how has the body of Christ done the same thing in this day and this time?
That's right.
But let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't political. All right? He wasn't political at all. Matter of fact, there's a scripture. He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. You know, but give to God's what is God's. Whose image and inscription is on that coin? All right? And that relates to the image and the likeness that you're created in. All right? Come on. The image and inscription that was on the coin was, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. But you're created in the image and the likeness of God, and you need to give your life to God. Come on. He wasn't worried about Caesar. And he wasn't worried about trying to take over the natural government. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Matter of fact, there's another scripture when somebody came to him. I think it was the Pharisees. They say, hey, you better stop doing what you're doing. Caesar says you better stop. And he says, tell that fox that I'm not going to stop. I'm not worried about him and his government. Revelation 12:11. Here's that scripture. What's it say? For the enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of the testimony. We always quote that part, but what's the last part say? For they did not love their lives.
Even unto death.
They were willing to face death. Come on, because they weren't fearing man and the fact that man could kill their physical bodies. They knew that they were connected to something greater and it couldn't take them out anyway. I'm connected to a kingdom that's eternal. And really, like the persecution of the church And the blood spilling of the martyrs is what provokes Jesus to bring the actual government of heaven down and just take over these natural cheap imitations. All right? It all plays a part, man. Huh? But will you rise up and really believe it? Will you rise up and really be the son that God's created you to be? Be the daughter that God has created you to be? Don't back up. Don't back down. Don't budge. Hold the line. Stand firm. Even in the face of death, knowing that death has nothing on you.
Yeah, come on.
Knowing that death has nothing on you. It does not. It does not. And I got a six-year-old daughter. I don't want to tell my, you know what I mean? Like, I understand people who got kids like, man, what about my kid? I get it. I get it. It's going to be worth it. And like, I don't know if it's coming in our time, but I know this is what it's coming down to sooner or later. All right? There was another thing that was completed in that story. And I want y'all to know this. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, it says, and when 8 days were completed.
Come on.
Somebody say completed.
Completed.
Come on. God's still completing things despite what the government's doing, despite what the enemy's doing. He's still seeing his purposes fulfilled. Yes. Amen. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now notice how it says that the name was given before he was even conceived. All right, but they never actually called him Jesus until after he was circumcised. That speaks to something, guys. Come on, and I know some of y'all may have heard me say this stuff before, but this is what God's doing. There's a circumcision going on. Yeah. That means you can't really be the Christ that you're meant to be. You can't really be who God's created you to be until you go through a circumcision. Come until on. You allow the flesh to be wow. cut away. Woo! You can't step into yeah. your true identity. You can't step into your true Christ until you die to the flesh. And listen, when you die to the flesh, that's when you truly come alive to who you're meant to be. Yeah. And that's when you ain't scared of death anymore. Well, what's circumcision? It's a cutting away of the flesh, right? But it's not just a cutting away of the flesh in any part of your body. It's the most sensitive part of your body, huh? That can bring you the most pleasure or bring you the most pain, all right? And listen, ladies, this goes for y'all too, because we all got these areas in our lives spiritually. The places that bring us the most pleasure or bring us the most pain, and they're sensitive, huh? We're vulnerable in these areas. And here's the thing. If you don't learn to subject those areas of your life to the fire of the Holy Ghost, to God Almighty, then those are the areas that the enemy will yep. exploit. It will be Every your time. Downfall if yep. you don't learn how to surrender them yep. to God, yes. huh? And when the fight gets heavy, when the war gets heavy, that's going to be the weak point that the enemy comes for. But if it's already surrendered to God, he has nothing on you.
Come on.
Woo! He has nothing on you.
Hallelujah.
I'm sick of learning the hard way. I say that and I'll probably learn the hard way tomorrow. But I'm telling you, man, this flesh making me think that this world's got something for me. Huh? It's just a disappointment every time. But the more I die to this flesh, the more I allow the Holy Spirit to cut away the flesh, the more I allow the circumcision to take place, huh? The more fulfillment and satisfaction I truly find in Him. The more the Christ that God's been forming on the inside of me gets birthed forth. Let's rise to the occasion. Don't abort what God's been working on the inside of you. Don't do it. All right? And here's the thing. It's one thing for you to allow the fire of God to burn away the things of the flesh, or allow the Spirit of God to cut away the things of the flesh. It's another thing for you to become the fire of God. All right?
Come on.
It's another thing for you to become something that God uses to help cut away flesh from other people. All right? What did they use? What did they use to circumcise? They used a flint knife, right?
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. What's that scripture in Isaiah 50? It says, I set my face as a flint. What do you mean? Jesus said he set his face towards Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Right? Come on, in other words, nothing's stopping me. I'm totally dead to the flesh, huh? I'm going to be as a flint knife, all right? And what I'm doing is going to be an example to everybody else, and it's going to help everybody else see that they need to allow the flesh to be cut away as well, that they need to allow the fire of God to consume what doesn't need to be there as well, all right? Listen, when you undergo circumcision, when you allow the fire of God to burn up everything in you that's not of Him, then you become a fire. You Come become on. A flint. Woo! You become yes. a vessel that God uses to circumcise a generation. Yes. Woo! Man,
yes.
Joel chapter 2. says that there's a great army that's going to arise in the end. Yeah. None like them has ever been seen before or will ever be seen again. Yeah.
Come on.
Huh? Yes. And fire goes before them.
Yeah.
They are the fire. Yeah. Huh?